Sometimes there needs to be tests in our lives to show us just how much faith we have. Here's our teacher, Mike McIntosh, with more on the subject.
You see, to walk with Jesus, there will be testings. And it's going to show you and maybe other people that you truly are a believer. But if you run, or if you run back like the dog to its vomit, to past sins and weaknesses, you're losing a lot of time. And for Jesus to go through this, for a jerk like me, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for him. Because I know that ultimately, whatever he does is to love people. Even if it hurts, he loves you so deeply, ladies and gentlemen.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Do you feel sometimes that you're all alone without a friend in the world? Don't be discouraged. Jesus promised to never leave or forsake us. Thanks for tuning in to Chapter and Verse, the radio ministry of Mike McIntosh. Today we're going to hear the conclusion to our message, The Crucifixion. We think of Calvary as a symbol of death. While it does represent crucifixion and suffering, the real picture is one of forgiveness. Christ in his deity could have chosen to save himself and allow us to perish. Because of his love, he chose not to. If you're able, turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 15 and let's join our teacher, Mike McIntosh, for the conclusion to his study on the crucifixion.
We had one of our grandsons move in with us this week, 19 years old. And I'm just, I gotta tell him, I've been where you are. I know what the end is going to be, but you're going to have to live through it. And I'm your daddy, your granddaddy. I'm somebody that loves you unconditionally, like God loves you unconditionally. And I sat with him the other night, and we had some very good words in trying to help him figure out life. And I love it that Abba, Father, down home. Yes, I highly respect God. Yes, I reverence him. I'm in awe of him. I cry in front of him. I laugh in front of him. I sing in front of him, if you want to call it singing. I trust him. I've never, ever been let down by him. There isn't anything I don't think I would take that he had challenged me to do, because I've seen him do so many things that literally I don't think I can talk about until after I'm in my 80s, if the Lord should tarry. Because then all those people would be dead and I can talk a little more freely. I've just seen God at the highest levels and the lowest levels and everything in between. I've just seen his hand of justice. I've seen his hand of righteousness. I've seen him take people that were so wicked and evil and mean and would slit your throat and you wouldn't know it until you saw your head laying on the floor, curl up in a ball and cry like a baby. He's awesome. He's mighty. He's powerful. His right hand spans the universe, and yet he's going to wipe the tears off of our face. Abba. So Barabbas, son of Abba, his father's name, but his name was also Jesus, and Jesus was a very common name. So knowing that little background, what's really happening is, which Jesus are you going to choose? This one, the rebel over here, he started the rebellion and people died in that rebellion. Remember what Samuel said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So if you're a rebel, I grew up as a rebel, you're as bad off as being a witch. And do you want this one, the humble carpenter kid over here? Which Jesus are you looking at? And remember, we're told by St. Paul, there are many Jesus. And there are false ministers, evil ministers of unrighteousness that can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. And the word transform is that word metamorphosis, a butterfly coming out of a caterpillar. Caterpillar metamorphed into the butterfly. Evil demons can transform into looking like a person, and they can actually look like they're righteous ministers. And then Paul says, but don't worry about this. There's no wonder about this. There isn't. I'd like to hear more about it, Paul. Because Satan himself, and they work for him, can transform, metamorphosis, same word, himself into an angel of light. And if he can appear as if he's a good angel of light, well, then they can easily look like a minister in their robe or their clerical collar or their suit or whatever they're doing. So you need discernment. Are people lifting up man? Are they lifting up the Lord from their pulpit? A lot of people that are celebrities make a lot of money in the name of the Lord, but do they suffer? In this world, you shall have tribulation, Jesus said. So here's the winning part of this for you. If Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, it means he's no longer an angel of light. He's an angel of darkness, and his light went out when he rebelled and sinned against God. But he makes you think he's tougher than you, he's bigger than you, he's better than you, he's more powerful than you. No, we don't have to be us when it comes to him. We just say, like the archangel did, when Michael was wrestling against the body of Moses with the devil in Jude, he brought forth no railing accusations, but rather just said, "The Lord rebuke you." That's the end of the battle. Jesus said on the cross, "It's finished." If you're fighting the battle with cancer, no, the Lord's already won that battle. You're going to go to heaven. If the devil is scaring you with nightmares, no, that battle's already been gone. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. But too many people, especially Christians, do not know Satan isn't who he makes himself to be. He has a great PR machine, and he looks huge, but he walks into hell in the book of Isaiah, and the kings of the earth look at how small he is and how fragile he is, and they said, you're the one that shook kingdoms and took down kings? You shattered the whole world? They can't believe it. So always lean on the Lord Jesus. You don't have to defend yourself in that sense. The Lord defends you. Our enemy is a worthy enemy, and he works in more than one dimension. He has the sum total of wisdom, is what Ezekiel said about Satan, that angel. God gave him the beauty and the sum total of wisdom, but he wasn't very wise. He rebelled against God. He took a third of the angels of heaven with him, and they came down to this planet, and he's controlled it. He controls it, the governments, the entertainment, the media. He controls the education, unless the blood of the Lamb is there. And they're slowly removing the blood of the Lamb in the name of Jesus Christ publicly around the globe. And we're the last bastion of people that have the freedom still. How much longer? Could be days, weeks, months. But I think we're joking if we think years. The Lord is coming back soon. And if you resist the devil, he flees from you. But if you dance with the devil, he's going to control you. So resist him. Stop him. Don't let it happen. Bless the Lord. So there is a doctor that I'll read here before we go home that I want you to hear this short article he put in. The chief priest stirred up the crowd, and then the soldiers led Jesus away into the praetorium to the judgment hall, and they called together the whole garrison. They clothed him with purple. They twisted a crown of thorns on his head and began to salute him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" And then they struck him on the head with a reed, a big stick. They spit on him. And the word there, spitting, I'm not a Greek. That was the only thing I didn't do well in school. I didn't do very well. My professor reminded me I didn't do very well. But it's the tense of it is they continued spitting. It wasn't one. Everybody was spitting at him. They were degrading him. And the soldiers were spitting on him, struck him on the head, and when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put on his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And then they, this is the sad part, then they compelled a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And Alexander and Rufus are mentioned in the New Testament. They became Christians if they weren't. And I remind you that Cyrene, some say he was a black man. Why? Because Cyrene is in northern Africa. Others say, no, he was a dark-skinned man, but not necessarily a black African. But for you and me, in our day, I think there's a subtlety here. If you go to a world map and you try to find Cyrene, the next door neighborhood of Cyrene is Benghazi, where we lost a U.S. ambassador, two Navy SEALs from San Diego, plus others, and admirals and generals that were going to go and rescue them, were fired and moved out of their positions very quietly. And there's a great cover-up of what was going on there. Very sad cover-up that innocent people died. Over 600 pleas came from Benghazi, from our authorities, begging that they'd at least let fighter jets come at a low overpass, that the roar of the engines will just scare the people, they'll get away, and they'll know that maybe a bomb or something's coming. 600 times they begged that they'd be saved, and our White House had nothing to do with it because they had something to do with them that was more important. And it goes to ISIS. We live in a wicked world. A wicked world. And ISIS has the blood of thousands and thousands of boys and girls that are Christians, and men and women and teenagers that they slaughtered in Syria and Iraq. Our brothers and sisters and our government watched it and allowed it to happen. You don't think God's going to judge our country? I had the Secretary General of the Kurdish Parliament. He said, how many Christians do you think we have here, Mike, in Iraq? I didn't know. Before ISIS, 2.5 years earlier, 3 years, 1,800,000 Christians in Iraq. 2015, when I sat in that meeting with the parliament, less than 300,000 Christians have survived at that time. And not one church in our country stood up. Let no man deceive you. Get in this book and get to know Jesus. This comes from C. Truman Davies is his name. And it comes from a magazine called The American Medicine, issue 22, number 3. And it's March 1965, and it's page 185. And this medical doctor's description of the physical effects of just the whipping of Jesus. The crucifixion of Jesus, the article was called The Passion of Christ from a Medical Point of View. Quote, this isn't a religious Christian book. This is a medical. The heavy whip is brought down with full force again and again. Across Jesus' back, his shoulders, his legs. At first, the heavy thongs cut through the skin only. There, as blows continuing, they cut deeper into the subcutaneous tissues, producing first an oozing of blood from the capillaries and the veins of the skin. And then finally, spurting arteries bleeding from vessels in the underlying muscles. And finally, the skin of the back is hanging in long ribbons, and the entire thing is unrecognizable mess of torn, bleeding tissue. When it says that he handed over Jesus, some feel that that fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53, verse 6 and verse 12. That he was a man acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows, and that he suffered. So, if you ever feel alone and rejected by your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your boss, your whatever, everybody stood afar off from Jesus. He knows what loneliness is. And for some of you, you've grown through it, and you know that. I remember before Chuck died, he helped me through a really horrible, horrible time in my life. And I was going through Job, and Chuck wanted to talk to me this particular day about Job. And I said, Chuck, I've been going through this, and it just hurts so much. You know, Job said that it used, when he was an older man and he was going through this horrible time, Chuck, it said that when I walked into a room, the elders, the older men, the ones of reverence would stand in his presence. The younger princes and the men were afraid to even look him in the eyes when he came into a room. They had such awesome respect for him. And he said, in the paraphrase, said, and today, I can't get anybody to even shake my hand. And Pastor Chuck looked across his desk at me and he said, tell me about it, Mike. And I realized he went through all that too. You see, to walk with Jesus, there'll be testings. And it's going to show you and maybe other people that you truly are a believer. But if you run, or if you run back like the dog to its vomit, to past sins and weaknesses, you're losing a lot of time. And for Jesus to go through this, for a jerk like me, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for him. Because I know that ultimately whatever he does is to love people, even if it hurts. He loves you so deeply, ladies and gentlemen. He loves you. He's thinking about you right now. Psalm 139, King David said to God, oh God, when I think of your thoughts, how precious your thoughts are towards me continually. God's thinking precious thoughts about you right now. I think I told you the story years ago when I was a reserve police officer. We busted a prostitution ring, and we had in our car this one young woman, maybe 22 years old. And I was in the car with her while the other officer was doing the paperwork, and then we'd go to the jail, and he would go in and wave at me when his gun was locked up and then take her out with the handcuffs out of the back of the car. And I just asked her if I could talk to her, and she said yes. And I said, well, why are you doing this? You're attractive, you're young, you've got the whole world ahead of you. I had my first baby at 16, and the man didn't marry me. My mom and dad disowned me. I had my second baby at 18, and my third at 19 and a half. Well, and so I lived by myself. But how do you work without an education? And how do you pay the bills? How do you feed the babies? Nobody cares about me. I said, I understand. I really understand. So as the officer's walking up, I didn't want to embarrass her. I said, but what about God? I don't want to hear about that. Nothing about God. No problem. 45 minutes to get to the prison. Silence. The officer and I were talking. We're listening to the radio, taking calls. And he goes in, says, I'll wave. You come in. There's about 15 other people ahead of us, so just keep an eye on me. All right. So as I open the back door, it's 100 degrees at 9 o'clock at night. It's just blistering out in East County. And she gets out, cuffed, and she said, sir? And I said, yeah? I lied to you. And I said, you lied? What about what? God, well, I'm sorry. Do we have time to talk about it? I was 11 years old, and I had a dream of Jesus. I saw Jesus. And my family were Catholics. And so when I came downstairs for, she's junior high school, I guess, 11, 12 years old, she said that as she's eating her breakfast, she says, Mom, I had a dream last night. Oh, what about? Jesus. Oh, really? Yes. And I think he wants me to become a nun or somebody that will serve other people like he did. And the mother, without even missing a beat, said, Jesus wouldn't want a girl like you. You ladies pick up on that very quickly. That just was a dagger to her soul. And that little girl is on the street selling her body because of a mom who was thoughtless. Jesus thinks nothing but good thoughts about you. He knows your weaknesses. You're not surprising him. He thinks wonderful thoughts in the word that's very rarely used in our vocabularies. Precious thoughts. And the number? Continual. And how long? Forever. More than the grains of sand on the earth. That's why he's looking at you right now. So we thank him for the price he paid that you and I could be free, that we could look forward to eternity. And this world isn't controlling us. It only controls you if you let it. Habits, addictions, and stress come because we allow it. I'll give you one good thought here. Always remember, stressed, the word stressed, spelled backwards, is desserts. So let's stand and let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for what you allowed. You actually allowed your son to go through by creatures called humans. They're so weak and so vulgar, disgusting in your holy eyes, I'm sure. But yet you see in the midst of the crowd people that if they only knew the truth would set them free, if you can get the truth to them, you'd do it. And you did it for us. But tonight we're asking for our family and our friends, for people that we work with and go to school with. We really like them, and they're nice people, but they have problems and issues. And please, please, speak to their hearts that they would turn to you, Lord Jesus. And let us not be selfish people, which is a norm for humans, self-centered, myopic in vision, so zeroed in on our lives that we miss their lives. Greater love, you said, Father, has no man than this, that he lays his life down for his brethren. It's so difficult to do, Lord. We have to give up our own time, our own energy, our own money, our own strength, or just our own emotions to lay our lives down for other people. So we need the strength of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask for your blessings on these men and women that have joined here for the last 5 months, that you would honor them. I could tell there is a remnant, and they are a people that love you and truly seek you. And so I pray your blessings upon them. I pray for the worship band from Calvary Chapel Tustin that has given of their time and efforts, for Holland and his friends that have come. And Lord, I know that Pastor Chuck is with you right now, and I know he's overwhelmed in your presence. He waited so long. He suffered physically for so many years, Lord, and never once complained. But you use that man for many of us young men to grow up and follow after righteousness. Honor him this night in heaven, and his family that's here on earth, comfort them. But we pray now, Lord, with the days we have left in our lives, that we would reach out to these people that are wounded, that are crippled, that are hobbling along life with tanging, stinging, burning, hurting words from moms and dads growing up, from crimes committed, abuses committed. Everyone has a reason why they don't need to believe in you. But we're asking you'd use us to help these dear people. And so we pray as you get this song and worship, Lord, you'll receive it from us in love. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen.
And with those words from Mike, we bring to a close our study in Mark chapter 15 and our look at the crucifixion. We're in the midst of a spiritual battle with an enemy who will use every tool he possesses to discourage us from walking close to God. We must not underestimate this enemy, yet we can rest comfortably in the promise of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection to be assured that he has already been defeated. Stay close to Jesus, and Satan has no choice but to flee the battle because he knows he's doomed. Jesus announced from the cross, "It is finished." Well, if you'd like to keep up to date with the international outreach of Horizon Christian Fellowship, look under the Ministries link. then go to the missions on the website at hcf.org. This is where you'll find information about Horizon Missions and churches around the world. If you'd like to keep in touch with a missionary family in the field, this is a site where you'll find contact information and news about developments around the world. Every Christian should be interested in the progress being made in spreading the gospel, and the Horizon website is one of the places where you can be a part of the missions effort taking place in our day. Again, look under the ministry section and click on the missions link on the web at hcf.org. Next time, we'll look at the last chapter of Mark, which is the title on our lesson, and we hope that you'll join us then. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.